So I'm walking in Costa Rica and I'm listening to this book that was one of the most profoundest experiences in my spiritual journey. It's a book called Spirit Hacking, and the author is here with us, Shaman Durek. Get ready. You guys are in for a treat. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I am so glad to have you here right now.
Yes.
So tell me something in 30 seconds or less. You know, why do you think it's important for people to listen to this conversation today?
Because I believe that there are a lot of things that confuse people within the spiritual world, because there's a lot of information that's going around. And I believe that there is an aspect of our being that is seeking to simplify the information to make it more tangible, more easier and accessible to be able to bring it into fruition, the things we choose to in life.
I love that. I love that. Mm-hmm. How did this journey begin for you?
Well, it's a long story, so I don't think it would take a whole podcast. But basically, my journey began when I was 5 years old and I started seeing spirits. I started hearing voices and hearing people's thoughts and feelings and hearing things in nature and things talking and whispering to me at night. And then I would be held down in bed or have, like, you know, you when you're a kid, you have fears of, like, there's something under the bed or something in the closet. And there was this fear of the monster being in the closet. I kept seeing this creature in my closet. And then one morning I decided that night I was going to go and confront it. And I went to the closet and spoke to it, and it told me what it was and where it came from. And then I asked my parents, and they said, yes, because your great grandmother and grandfather and everyone in the family have been these powerful shamans, these medicine people who have come from our culture in the Mende tribe and in the Yoruban culture. And they, grandmother used to have this house, and she used to bring people there to do healings on them. And this is where your powers come from. And she did say that I was going to have a son one day who would have these powers, and I guess you're coming into them, you know. But it wasn't a very completely supportive way, because my grandfather pulled us away from our traditions and went into Seventh-day Adventists. So half the family was split. One side of the family was into the spiritualism, which is what we called it, and the other half was into religion.
Religion, right.
Right. And so it was really interesting because I had to kind of find my way through that as a kid while growing up in suburbia, in Foster City, and also Hawaii, and realizing that I knew things about things that people around me didn't know.
Right.
Right. And I saw things and I understood, like, you know, I remember one time my teacher was a little bit aggro with the class when I was in first grade. And I said, at the end of the class, I walked out and I went back in and I said, just because you argued with your husband last night doesn't mean you have to take it out on all of us. And she's like, how do you know I argued with my husband? I said, the spirits told me. Mm. And so, you know, and then it developed, and I got, you know, members in my family started training me and teaching me how to use my powers. And then I started traveling around the world and meeting different people to kind of understand religion, understand people's relationship with God, with spirit, with source, however, whatever people believed, you know, and in shamanic understandings and being able to nurture those qualities. You have a lot of study when it comes to sociology, anthropology, understanding why people breathe the way they do. How come they blink? How come there's one person moves this way versus another person moves this way? And looking at the understanding and the ecology of human dynamics and recognizing how that plays out on the spiritual plane, on the emotional plane, how it connects with our intellect and how we think and provide words and dialogue, communication, how we perceive information, and the level of perception in which we're capable of perceiving, all are dialed in to the different functionings of each individual selectively based on their upbringing, their social environment, the different things they were exposed to. and not trying to put it into one box,
right?
But seeing each person as their own universe, their own beautiful landscape of and design that's created for the sake of being here at this time, where there will only be one of them, right? Mm. So as a shaman, it's important for me to remove judgment from the understanding of human development and be able to look at it from the spiritual, but also looking at the multidimensional layers of life instead of just looking at what I see, what most people look at, which is face value.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You know, you said a lot, and so I wanna just kind of caution the audience, you know, to allow a little trust in this conversation, because I could remember if you would have said everything that you just said just 5 years ago, I would have checked out. Because I'm like, what is this dude talking about, right? Mm-hmm. And it was because at that time, I was knee deep in what I feel was a perfect part of my journey was I had a very deep religious background, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm sitting here today, like with a smile on my face, because when you say things like, I understand things about life and I see things that like humans just don't like, in many ways, I feel that way as well now. But I only got here through like deep challenging and questioning and understanding my path and seeing it, Shaman Durek, as all perfect. Mm-hmm. I can even remember, you know, I was so committed at one point in time, I called you and we had a session. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we start talking and within 2 minutes, I'm on the ground mm-hmm. gagging and you're calling some sort of, I never even asked you what that was all about, by the mm-hmm. way, but I'm on the ground gagging and I'm pulling something out of my throat or whatever. And, just for personal reasons, do you remember that session?
Of course, yeah, you fell out of the chair.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. What was that?
So in our lives, we are spiritual beings that are taking in different forms of energy all the time. They could be in our conversation with someone or a place we go. And so what we call, there's several ways of looking at that. You can look at it from a spiritual point of view, which are energies and entities that you've called in to support certain belief structures or ideas or concepts and formations of emotions that you've been wanting to be right about. Mm. And then we look at it more on a scientific level, we can look at it as negative cellular memory blockage. It's the parts that your cells in your body has been exposed to that is creating a negative frequency to your system that has been holding back your system from being able to function at a level of optimization that it could be functioning at.
Yeah, for sure. I could see that, because it was very, very shortly after that that I quite honestly left the real estate industry. I started hosting, you know, the sessions that I now host. It's like everything changed.
Of course.
Everything changed.
Yeah.
So if you were to explain to me, you know, in layman's terms, you know, what are some of the misconceptions that are being taught out there when it comes to spirituality? Mm-hmm. You know, what are some of the things that people might be confused about? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they love going to church and maybe they hear that I don't, and they think like, what's up with that? And maybe they're questioning all of that. Like, where would be a good place for us to start?
Well, if we understand, let's start basically with church, right? If we understand church. Church is an organization that brings people together for the enrichment and the celebration of learning and gaining knowledge about scripture, right? And also being able to congregate in a way to celebrate God, right? You have music. I mean, that's what I love about church, you know? Yeah. The thing is, what we have to understand is what type of planet we're living on. We're not living on a planet which operates in the understanding of creating a civilization for the sake for the sacredness of sustainability of our species. We live on a planet that basically wants to have dominion over things for the sake of power
and control. Right? Yeah.
So in shamanism, we look at and understand that whatever God you believe in, then you are held to those energies. So in religion, the God is based in duality, right? In shamanism, we say anything that's in duality creates chaos. Mm-hmm. Because duality is the exchange of you do this or you're punished, or you do this or you're rewarded.
You get this, right.
Right? Now, if you look at the human dynamics of how we develop as children on this planet, a child that comes to Earth has already divine wisdom within them that has already been given to them, that has already been set up by the beings of light, of love, and consciousness, and divine spirit, by creation and God, to bring that knowledge forth, right? But then they come into a world that's been set up on a plan that says, you do as I say you do, you believe what I say you believe, and if you don't, I take away love from you.
You're going to go to hell.
You're going to heaven. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. I take away love from you, or I give you love.
Reward. Right?
So most human beings don't even really know themselves because they operate on the idea of dominion. Now, dominion means what? Dominion means that your husband could be the person who has dominion over you. It could be a friend. It could be society. It could be your school teacher. It could be anyone you've chosen to give power to over the idea of how good of a person you are, how worthy a person you are, what you're capable of, what type of person you are as in regards to how much love you're allowed to have, right? How successful you're allowed to be. So anyone who has dominion over you, when people say, oh, I have anxiety and I have stress, and which is a great way to look at it, when you have anxiety and stress, you only have anxiety and stress because you have something of dominion over you that you're trying to meet the expectations to.
Which your soul knows you can't, because you shouldn't even be needing to meet the expectation of anything.
Exactly.
Because you are everything.
That's right. And so if you believe that God would punish you and you believe that God would send you to hell, right? Subconsciously, and now this is just basic science, your consciousness is governed by conscious, unconscious, subconscious, and super subconscious. And then you have your peripherals, and then your and the way in which you dilate information through your eyes and the sounds and the things you hear. And then you take references based on frequency and energy and how you choose to relate based on what you were experiencing growing up as a child and your sojourn, right? When you are operating in the consciousness that your creator has the ability to destroy you, you subconsciously create what is called a replica marker in your subconscious mind. It means you replicate the energy. Now, that's something that most people don't talk about, is the replication. So they replicate energy. So then you become the very thing that you're afraid of. So you naturally start to take yourself apart. You start looking for ways to punish yourself. Mm-hmm. You start looking for ways to eventually either send you to heaven or send you to hell.
Yeah.
So you're living on what we call a scale of one day you might be in hell and one day you might be in heaven, and it's all consciously. And this is why people suffer, because people suffer because they dream suffering into manifestation.
Yeah.
The idea of what God ultimately wants for us is to be excellent dreamers. Because when you can dream greater than what the world is wanting you to dream, which is the nightmare, the world wants you to have a nightmare. That's why you have more scary movies out in Hollywood. You have more news putting out more things to keep you scared. Because as long as your brain can perceive the world is falling apart, you are contributing to the world falling apart. But if you can dream greater than that which you see, that's power.
That's right. And that's when we as a collective can create heaven here on earth.
That's correct. That is the true atonement of divine wisdom and knowledge, which is to be able to create heaven on earth as you see it, as I see it, and everyone else sees it as it was in heaven.
That's right.
Are you ready to discover your true power, potential, and purpose? On January 20th, I'm hosting a live 2-day virtual experience called Discover. On day one, I'll help you uncover the root of what is holding you back from having a life full of love, fulfillment, and abundance. On day two, I'll show you how to heal old wounds, making drastic changes, and start living the life you've always wanted. This is more than an event. It's the start of your journey to awakening your highest self. Join me at DannyMorrell.com/discover.
And then, you know, it's so interesting to me because this has an impact on everything. This has an impact on your relationship with a partner. This has your impact on your finances. This has an impact on your health. Right?
Everything.
Absolutely everything. I wanna share with you how true what you just said was in my life. And I'm so grateful for it because then I was able to see it, you know. I recently did a test. It's called a Carol food intolerance test. And I used to carry an extra 50 pounds, 50 or 60 pounds or so. And, you know, I've just been really dialing into like, you know, what food is good for me? What food is not good for me? Is vegan good for me? Is animal good for me? You know, so forth and so on, which I would love to talk to you about that in a second. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, I prick my ear. I take this blood test. I send the blood and the blood comes back and it says, okay, the one thing you, not humanity, you for your blood needs to stay away from is dairy. Like dairy is pretty bad for you. You don't like dairy. And secondary is cane sugar. It could be coconut sugar. It could be, you know, fruit, whatever, but cane sugar. You want me to tell you the wildest thing? The wildest thing that I realized in that moment was back when I was, you know, 6-7 years ago before my spiritual journey began and I was carrying all this weight. What I used to do without being aware of it is I used to grab 6 or 7 Oreo cookies. I would literally crumble them up, stick them in a cup, and then I would add to it dairy milk. And I would grab the cup, Shamander, and I would literally just go and shove it down my mouth.
Wow.
And I would do that 2 or 3 times. And this was something that I did to myself, knowing the milk is bad, the cookies are bad. But look at how powerful is that. Subconsciously, I was giving myself the very thing that my blood did not agree with,
mm-hmm.
without even knowing it, but knowing it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And this is why I do the work that I do, because how many people are doing something like that with their money, self-sabotaging their money, with their relationships, self-sabotaging in the partners that they're with. And as a result, the body is just a reflection of what's going on inside.
Yes, but in that situation, what we have to understand is that what you're doing is taking back your power in that situation. Because when you're a human being living on planet Earth, you have things that you have to do that if you don't do, there's consequences. And so therefore, there's a part of your mind that feels like, I have to do these things or else. So when people drink or smoke or do any of these things that are outside of them, they do it as a form of power grab. It's called a power grab. Mm. It's called, I get to do this thing. I know I'm not supposed to do it, but I get to make the choice to do it. And that's power, right? You see, and that's because the world is set up not on a level of let's freely operate in a consciousness where, like, let's use relationships because I'm very good at relationships with helping people to understand their relationships. Most human beings will come to me and say, I want to find a relationship, Shaman Dirk. Why haven't I met the one I love? Okay. Or the twin flame or whatever people interpret as this ultimate person, right? Yeah. And I always say to them, no, you don't. You want a companion. You don't want a relationship. They go, well, what do you mean? I said, a relationship means that you're willing to expose and to be transparent and to open yourself up for evolution.
That's right.
You're not in a relationship just because you want to fill that lonely spot. You're in a relationship for someone to show up who's able to see you clearly and be able to show you the places where you're not evolving.
Right.
And a lot of times people interpret spirituality as a thing that they have to do because they feel that it makes them spiritual. But spirituality means evolution.
I'm so glad you said that because to me, spirituality means like the discovery of my truest self.
Mm-hmm. Or the truest self, let's add to that. It's not your truest self because there is no such thing. It is the self that is willing to stay in evolution.
Gotcha.
Right? Because the true self is always going to adapt and evolve. It will never stop adapting and evolving. The moment you try to be perfect, is when you stop evolving, right? And that's why people go, how come you hear spirits and I don't hear spirits? It's because you don't want to hear what the spirits have to say because you have an agenda and it doesn't match your agenda. So you don't want to hear it. Or you don't want to hear spirits what they say because you think that you should have it all figured out. So to listen to spirit means that, oh, that I'm not good enough. And then you go into that cycle. If you are open to listen to spirit, you're open to understand, to get instruction, to get counsel, to get the level of wisdom that comes from the divine that is so beautiful when given to you, because you have all these ideas that you think represent you. And then when spirit comes in and shows you to simplify it, to that it's not as difficult as you're making it be, and that the information actually takes you to a better place than the place that you actually think you could be in because you weren't listening to your counsel. We all have counsel, right? And so when we look at it from the perspective of the development of humanity, most human beings operate in the idea of, I have to be perfect in order to be loved. Mm-hmm. And that actually limits their evolution.
Yeah. Something just hit me. I'll talk to you about it later. But yeah, wow. Just give me a moment. I just realized something right now.
That's fine.
And so the next thing I want to talk to you about is that, you know, the more and more that people do, you know, work, the more that they heal, the more that they get closer to love, the more that they get closer to oneness, the more that their own spiritual gifts start to unlock. And I really do believe, like, there's a shaman in all of us.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a way to connect to and listen to the divine. Every single one of us has that. Like, number one, where does one begin? And then number two, what was your journey like? Because I know that could also be a very scary, you know, portion if you're not ready for it. It was for me. I was like, I remember even having to say, like, okay, let's just slow down because I gotta sleep. You know what I'm saying? Where does one begin when they want to, like, fully say, like, wow, this is an interesting conversation. Like, I want to hear from the divine. Where does one start?
Well, the first understanding, you know, is to be able to be comfortable not being right, right? Because a lot of what human beings do in life is they take a lot of the information that they've gathered through life and they use it as a shielding or protection of their identity, the identity of self, right? Governed by whatever they believed in from their parents or their upbringing or what they believe about their sexuality or what they believe about whatever it is all convoluted information that is being gathered for the sake of making themselves feel safe. And the idea of safety and security means only one thing. It means that your need to feel safe is your need to meet the opinions and judgments of other people around you. Safety does not, it's not real. There's no such thing as safety. You are either in a balanced state as a human being, or you are operating in your true, awareness and truth of who you are, because you're not tiptoeing around other people's emotions or trying to meet the standards that you think other people are holding you to. Most people don't live their life. They live the lives for other people to satisfy the needs of their community, their people, their family, their friends, and people around them. And so the first key is to ask yourself, is the things that I'm choosing to believe, am I believing it because I need to be right? Or is this information that I'm believing in actually really supporting me to be happy, to feel free, to feel loved, to feel nurtured, to feel empowered, to feel any of these things? And the first thing you can always ask yourself is you connect with your fear. Like, for instance, someone says to me, I haven't had relationships for a very long time, or money, or whatever it may be. That means you're afraid of it, because nothing can come to you if you have fear. And spirit never limits you from anything. And the beings of darkness only support you in your nightmare that you've asked them to support you in. So if you're like, I'm afraid of being in love, then a spirit from the underworld will come and support you in that because you are the child of God and everything you ask for must be given. Angels aren't going to do it because their job is to expand you and to take you into higher states of consciousness. So there's everything for everyone, right? But the consciousness of a human being Everything that goes in your head that puts you down, makes you not feel good, anything that anyone's ever said to you or says to you that is not showing you how amazing, powerful, what a brilliant genius, how you are the most amazing, powerful being as you on the planet, needs to be said that it's a lie.
That's right.
Right? So everything in your head that says, are you good enough? That's a lie. Will I be good at getting this job? That's a lie. Anything that makes you feel opposite of being the most amazing person is a lie. So that's the first place you start, because spirit can't interact with you if you keep playing in taking the energies of those lies and trying to fight and argue for them. Because that's what people do. They'll say, well, money's hard to make. And I'll say, well, spirit says money's easy for you to make. You're like, no, it's hard because when I was a kid, my father didn't have money. They come stories.
Right, right.
They'll give you all kinds of things of the reason why. I say, whose team are you on?
Right.
Are you on the team of being wealthy? Are you on the team of being happy? Because everything that comes out of your mouth is like you're trying to defend the very
poverty,
thing you're trying to get out of.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
How are you defending the very thing you're trying to get out of?
Right.
So
you're the one creating it.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like the energy of someone's in a cage, right? I believe it was Mandela who said this, is that someone who chooses to be imprisoned within themselves, you can give them the key and they won't take the key to open the door because they want to be right and justify the fact that they're imprisoned. Because human beings love to be righteous about the things that actually aren't worth supporting. So the first key to actually coming into the understanding, the level of simplicity of, wait a second, why am I arguing with my spouse? Because I want to be right. You're not arguing because you guys are wanting to share this loving conversation of intellect and evolution. You just want to be right.
That's right.
Right? So everywhere you are going into a thought where you're putting so much energy into it, where you're saying, like if so you hear a voice say in your head, oh, you're fat, and then you keep trying to find more reasons why you're fat, just be wrong. It's okay to be wrong.
Yeah.
And when you choose to be wrong, what it does is it equalizes your ego, because your ego doesn't want to be there for you to use your ego to make yourself bad for feeling good. Your ego wants to edify you. Your ego wants to edify you. It does. People, you always say, get rid of your ego, get rid of your ego. And I say, no, no, no. I have the biggest ego in the world. And I want it to get even bigger. Yeah. Because what the ego does is it edifies me so that no one can come to me and say anything to me that's negative, because I know I'm beautiful. I know I'm wonderful. The ego that people don't want to have is the one that says, I have to have this ego to put you down. So I'm going to put you down to make myself better. There is no one like me in the world. There's no one like you in the world. And so why not let your ego build you up so that you're protected in your own sovereignty?
Yeah.
So you can have a relationship with spirit. So when spirit tells you something, or someone comes off the street and decides to project to you the things they feel about themselves inside. Because no one, if I say to you, you are such an amazing and powerful being, the only reason why I can say that to you is because that code of power lives in me
you,
too.
Right.
But if I say to you something negative, that doesn't mean that's who you are. That just means that's who I feel inside, and I want to project it to get you to accept it.
Right.
And that comes from emotional intelligence. So when we operate in the awareness that anything we think or feel or hear from another person that does not define the qualities of our greatness must be disqualified.
Period.
That's it. So that way you're listening to spirit, because spirit will never speak bad to you. Spirit will never put you down. Higher beings, I say. They'll never tell you that you're a bad person, you're not good enough, any of these things. Because they don't live in a dimension that even exists.
It's not even a possibility. It's not
exactly.
Even, right, right.
Right? And that's why I always find it funny when people go to me, oh, God's going to punch me. You're responding to a God that the system made
to
enslave
you. That's right.
Because how can an omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient being,
beautiful, loving,
loving
that loves
operate
you,
operate in duality,
right,
while acknowledging bliss?
And how, and for possible. That matter, how can it even have a name or a sex or a anything?
It can't.
It's just.
It's not just possible.
It's not possible.
And just scientifically basing the understanding of micro and macro, the understanding of the divinity of truth, which is the present science knowledge, you cannot have a macro and have a micro existing in the same sphere, because it would be chaotically impossible. It would create what is called a chaotic breakdown. Because the macro would see the whole complete understanding, there would be no need for the micro to exist. So you can't say it's possible for someone to exist in love and then operate on the intention of all I know is love, but in my realm of love, I also can act out this. That's like, you're basically saying that God thinks like a human being.
That's right.
So there is nothing to evolve to.
That's right.
There's no evolution then.
That's absolutely right.
So if you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you'll know that I'm a strong believer and advocate for plant medicine and its ability to awaken and heal the mind, body, and soul. It's a belief that is deeply rooted in my own personal experience with both ayahuasca and psilocybin mushrooms. And many of you for years have always asked me, you know, Danny, where do I go? Who can I trust? And there is only one place I would ever recommend or put my name behind, and that is Reunion. Reunion is a place where you could set yourself free from whatever is holding you back from living the life of your dreams. It's a beachfront, beautiful property that is in Costa Rica. And what I love about it is that it's not for profit. And this is the only thing that they focus on is the preservation and the safe utilization of these beautiful, wonderful medicines. And I only feel comfortable putting my name behind it because I am personal friends and have journeyed with some of the members of the facilitating team. Guys, I'm honored to have aligned myself with them to create the Higher Self Scholarship Fund. It's a fund whose purpose is in helping people who don't have the means to experience these medicines and yet have the desire to. And every time one of you books a retreat with Reunion, $100 from every booking is going to go into this fund, and we will be sharing this money with people on a monthly and bi-monthly basis. So help me help others by using the code DANNYREUNION when you go to register to experience your own life transformational journey. To find out more, go to reunionexperience.org and get ready.
And so when I was growing up as a kid, I was studying my shamanism with the family members who were teaching me how to access my powers, to speak to spirit, to connect into those deeper places. But I also studied religion. I got very devout into the Bible, studying scripture, Matthew's 1-2, what does that mean? What is the book of, what is Corinthians? What is the book of Leviticus? Where did it come from? I went and moved to Israel. I lived and walked the path where Jesus walked. I went to Egypt and lived in Egypt. I went to all the places that they talked about in the Bible and met and lived in religious families. I moved to Israel and lived with a religious family, went to synagogue every day. I studied the Torah, learned how to speak Hebrew. I wanted to understand Aramaic language. I wanted to understand the depths. What is Buddhism? What is this about? Why do you have a Gohanzen? And why are you, what is Namiho Renge Kyo? And what is the depths? And what is the Bhagavad Gita? And what is the Ugavad Gita? And what is the whole understanding? So at a very young age, I decided that in order to be the shaman that I'm gonna be, I'm not gonna just be a shaman who understands African lineage, which is where my roots come from in shamanism. I'm going to delve into the depths of other people's way of understanding things.
So you could understand them.
So I can understand them.
You know what you did, shaman, which is what, and this is my challenge to everybody listening to this right now, what you did is what very few people have the courage to do, is you accepted.
Mm-hmm.
You accepted versus rejecting and making something wrong.
Yes.
Because that's what people do, is they make their belief, their religion, their way, their system right, and everything else must be wrong. Not only must it be wrong, if you were to ever look into anything else, you're going to go to hell or you're going to get punished or whatever. Because that's the construct that you live in. You live in this construct that you have created, that the only thing that could possibly be right is what you believe is right. And in order to defend that construct and protect that construct that you created, you have to make everything else wrong. Because if you were to potentially allow it, then this would have to go.
Absolute. And for me, when I was young, I realized that I can't just go into it while keeping my foot in the other place. I had to literally take a mental part of myself and say, I'm going full on into being a Christian. I'm going to go to Christian school. I'm going to go to Bible studies. I'm going to sit with the pastor every day. I'm going to do evangelism. I am going to open up a Christian center. I mean, I did it all.
The whole thing.
Then when I lived in Israel, I was like, I'm not going to just go live in Israel. I'm going to go live with a religious family and become super religious. I'm going to cover my skin. I'm going to do everything that they asked me to do to be and understand the Torah, the Talmud, to understand the language, to speak Hebrew, to be able to understand it. And then same with Muslim. I'm like, I'm going to go live in a Muslim country. I'm going to go to mosque. I'm going to bow to Mecca. I'm going to learn their language. I'm going to understand the Quran. I'm going to read the Quran. I'm going to have someone sit with me and interpret the Quran. And I'm going to deny everything else and just be full on. And what it did for me is it wasn't like I was cheating myself. Because one of my friends once said to me, she said, how could you study witchcraft, full on understanding of magic, and then walk away from it and become Christian, walk away from Christianity and become Muslim, walk away from this and become this, and live in these different countries? I said, because if I had my foot in this while doing this, I wouldn't be authentically really experiencing it.
I can understand that, because when I left religion myself and I went and, you know, for me, my vehicle or my medicine was ayahuasca, mm-hmm. you know, and I went all in. And it's really interesting that you just mentioned what you mentioned, because I think you just helped me solve something about myself, is that then I went all in with like the mushrooms, mm-hmm. right? And then now I'm just all in with the medicine of life. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I feel like people ask me, but aren't you going to go back to sit with the men? Are you going to? I just get so much medicine for me and her, for me, from just living
yeah.
with someone that's showing me all of my, the things that I've been afraid to like unravel and to feel and to see about myself, and getting to witness all of that. Like, that's enough medicine for me to handle, mm-hmm. you know?
And it's true. And I think that what you're saying is very profound, because I want to explain why it's profound. Because most people don't understand what a relationship is. Mm. A relationship is not holding anything back. It's not limiting anything in you from being seen, experienced, and acknowledged through the other person, because they are your eyes, they are your ears, they see the other side of the coin. So when my fiance says something to me and I don't agree with it, instead of me going, let me fight with her and try to play a power game and try to be right.
Everybody, please listen to what he's about to say. This is it right here.
Right? I go, wait a second, she's my fiance. And I brought her in, which means she is my other half, and she's looking on the other side of the sphere, mm-hmm. where I look on this side of the sphere. So instead, let me combine our knowledge of what she gets and what I get, and now let's look at it together.
That's right.
So it becomes an understanding where I'm not getting, when she says something and it upsets me, I'm not blaming her for upsetting me. I'm thanking her for acknowledging, for activating my trigger. So I can see, why am I being triggered? And it's not really about her. It's actually something from my childhood or something that I'm experiencing
right.
that I haven't brought love to within myself.
That's right. Absolutely right.
You see? And so a lot of people go into very dysfunctional relationships because they're actually dysfunctional themselves. And they're dysfunctional inside, and they don't want to look at that part that dysfunction. Like, I had one woman say to me, I have a very abusive husband and he's always doing and putting me down. Mm-hmm. She said, but I don't abuse myself. So how's that possible, Charmaine? She was trying to challenge me. I said, I'll accept your challenge, my darling. So here's how it is. Every time you say you're not good enough or you feel you're not good enough, that's called abuse. So you are abusing yourself. You just don't realize what abuse looks like to the spirit world.
Because you're so used to it that you think it's life.
Yes. So you've manifested yourself in another body to show you what that looks like from the outside.
That's right.
That's called karma.
That's right.
And so,
this is, but you know what? And it takes me back to, it's like, and I want to bring this up. It takes me back to when I was stuck in that religious world. By the way, I'm not making religion bad. I'm just,
oh, I love, yeah, I yeah, have yeah. beautiful this things is, about religion.
Yeah, yeah.
This I love just, going to church still.
But for me, it was like, I was so, like, I defended my religion and everything else had to be wrong. But guess what I did? I took that, since I lived in that world and that aspect of my life, I did the same thing in my relationship. My partner had to be wrong, you know?
Yeah.
Only now could I be in relationship where I could fully, like, allow for my partner to not only not be wrong, but maybe she's my teacher.
Yes.
As much as it hurts me and as much as it makes me feel uncomfortable, and that's the beauty of what happens to your life when you allow, mm-hmm. when you allow the possibility of other truths, right? When you could start doing that in the cases of spirituality, when you start doing that in the cases of food, when you start doing that in the case of money, you could start doing that in your relationship.
Mm-hmm. And let's remove the word teacher, because even that is a created matrix programming of how we perceive information being given to us. How about remembering, teaching you, showing you to remember? Because you are a divine being and you're already, right?
Right.
Or you wouldn't be created, right?
Right.
Creation only creates divinity,
right?
Right. And so if you already are a divine being and you come into this dimension, because in heaven, we have access to all of these different energies because every aspect of consciousness exists, right? So we're not in judgment about things. We're not in heaviness or pain or any of those things because it's not necessary.
Right.
But in this dimension, this is the realm of matter, right? This is the realm of density. And so when you come into this realm, you are not here to be perfect. You are here to remember.
Yeah.
Yourself, because you have to erase your memory from heaven and all the things you knew, because you will never be able to help your brothers and sisters rise out of their sleep if you don't know what made them go to sleep.
That's right.
Right? So all she's doing is reminding you of your divinity.
I love that.
You see?
Yeah.
So when I do workshops or I'm doing any of these things, people will say, oh, they try to put me in guru status or they try to put me in teacher status. I say, no, my darlings. I am not here as your teacher or as your guru. I am here as your equal. I am here as, just like you, a leader of legacy. I'm here to remind you of your divinity. I lay a buffet out for everyone to eat from. You can eat from it or not. It's your choice. I'm here for a certain amount of time. You can partake of that which I have to give. And if you don't, that's fine. And I'm not upset. I'm not here to change the world because I can't do that. What I can offer is information, wisdom, and knowledge. And it's your choice to decide to change. I'm not here to fix you because I cannot do that. I am here to offer you things to nurture you and give you the space to see the greatness of your being. And if you choose to see it, then wonderful. That's it. Because the moment you start going into, I have this mission and I have to do this and I have to change the world, that's the moment you start putting expectation on yourself. That's the moment you start beating up on yourself or comparing yourself to someone else who's doing something. That's the moment when you step out of service and you activate the idea of I have to, I better, or else.
Hmm.
And I don't live my life like that.
I live
my life for the sake of service because I choose to leave the buffet out. I choose to create this space for you to do these things, not because I'm on a mission to fix you. I'm just giving you things to play with. And if you feel the need to play with it and you want me to show you how it operates, I will. And if you gain great power and knowledge from it, fantastic. And that's it. So when my fiance talks to me, I'm not going, she's teaching me. I would thank you for reminding me, babe.
Hmm.
And she says the same thing. She goes, thank you for reminding me of my divinity.
I love that. Beautiful. Beautiful. How can people hear more about you, learn more about you?
You know, I do a lot of webinars, workshops. They can go to shamandurek.com. I have an amazing meditation app coming out in the new year, which is going to be next level. Books, I have stuff that's on audiobooks. I have a podcast. You know, I do everything I can to create space for people to see how powerful they are so that there is no excuse for codependency.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I live. I live to remind people to dream, to be dreamers greater than that which the world wants to project at you.
I love that. Well, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
And thank you for being a part of my journey.
Absolutely. Seriously. It's a pleasure. Yeah. Gives me great joy.
Thank you so much. Oh, watch this one 10 more times. I think I'm going to watch this one myself a couple of times. I feel like a bunch of you are going to start to get it. I feel like a bunch of codes are going to start to unlock. I feel like a bunch of you are going to remember. And that's what this podcast is all about. So we'll see you next week on another episode of The Higher Self. Thanks for watching this week's episode of The Higher Self. If you heard something in this week's episode that caused you to think maybe, just maybe, there was a higher potential for your life, maybe there was a potential to earn and receive financial freedom, to attract the relationship of your dreams, or to improve your health, that's what we specialize in. We help wonderful human beings like yourself to unravel all of the limiting thoughts, feelings, and emotions that you've been living through so that you can finally tap into your life's truest potential. If you'd like to talk more about that, we invite you to join us on Instagram or Facebook and email us the word discover more. And when my team sees that, they will reach out to you, send you the details of how we could help you on your pathway to a life of abundance, fulfillment, and creating the absolute life of your dreams. Message us right now the words discover more now on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll see you soon.